Good morning. Good morning. It's time to begin our worship. And we are thankful that you're all here. And especially any of you that are in our audience that are visiting with us, we're glad you're here. We hope that you'll find our worship uplifting. Our purpose here this morning is to honor God, praise Him, remember His Son's death and resurrection on the cross as we commune. And we're striving to just simply be Christians doing His will. We're so thankful you're here and with us. We worship at 10:30 this morning. We've come together at 9:30 for Bible study. And if you're with us midweek, we'd invite you to come back again also tonight at 6 o'clock, but again on Wednesday at 7 o'clock for another period of Bible classes. Welcome you at every opportunity you have. We need to be remembering the Sloan family, especially Joel as he goes to Duke for a scan this time, looking at the concerns of his liver and so forth. We really need to be praying on his behalf. And certainly we'll be praying for him this morning, but be praying for him all through the week. Pray that he'll have good results come from these scans. And be praying for the family as well. If you would turn your Bibles to John chapter 11. John chapter 11. I'd like to read a section of Scripture, starting in verse 1. Now a certain man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary, and her sister Martha. And it was that Mary who anointed the Lord with an ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. And the sisters therefore sent to him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick. But when Jesus heard it, he said, This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified by it. And now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. And when therefore he had heard that he was sick, he stayed then 2 days longer in the place where he was. And then after this he said to the disciples, Let us go to Judea again. And the disciples said to him, Rabbi, the Jews were just now seeking to stone you, and are you going there again? And Jesus answered, Are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble because he sees the light of this world. But if anyone walks in the night, he stumbles because the light is not in him. Pray with me, please. Our Father in heaven, Father, we come to you this morning thanking you for who you are as our Father. Thanking you for your love. Thanking you, Father, for our opportunity to have a relationship with you through your Son, who came and died on the cross of Calvary for our sins. We're so thankful, Father, that you love us, and you provided this means for us to come home to you. We pray, Father, that as your people, as this church and this community, that we'll always be mindful of who we are as your children. Live lives that bring glory and praise to your name, especially into the community around us and those that we have contact with. Help us always, Father, to remember we were paid with such a great price of the life of your Son for each and every one of us. Father, we also pray for your special blessings upon those of our number who are sick, but we especially pray for Joel and the efforts that are being put forth, that progress can be made, that his health can be restored to him, that he can win this battle of cancer. We pray that you'll bless him. The test will be good tomorrow, And we pray also, Father, that you'll be with the family, comfort them and strengthen them as they go through this tough, tough time. Help us all to be an encouragement to him, Father, and to each other. We also pray, Father, that in all things that we'll do your will, we'll be mindful that your love is upon us and that you care for us, that we in turn will love one another. Bless those that are traveling, keep them safe, and thank you for bringing visitors our way this morning. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Let's stand for our first song, if you would. 869. We're marching to Zion. And it sounds like we're marching to Zion this morning. So I'll sing out. No. Come we. Before we take the Lord's Supper, we'll sing song number 287. 287, there is a Redeemer. Let's all sing out. No me.
Good morning, church. If you'd like to follow along, open your Bibles to John, the 19th chapter. John 19, and starting in verse 13. Therefore, when Pilate heard these words, he brought Jesus out and sat down on the judgment seat at the place called the pavement, but in Hebrew, Gabbatha. Now it was the day of preparation for the Passover. It was about the sixth hour. And he said to the Jews, "Behold your king." So they cried out, "Away with him! Away with him! Crucify him!" Pilate said to them, "Shall I crucify your king?" The chief priests answered, "We have no king but Caesar." So he then handed him over to them to be crucified. Helen Keller once said, "The most pathetic person in the world is someone who has sight but no vision." Well, I don't think there was any more pathetic crowd than those that morning or that day that called for the crucifixion of Christ. They looked, but they didn't see. They didn't see what should have been obvious. I mean, who couldn't see who Jesus was? Who couldn't see his good works, his miracles, the power of his teaching? Yet on that fatal Friday when Jesus was crucified, the crowds that watched just saw another man being put to death. They saw a man beaten. They saw his brow bloodied. They saw his back torn to shreds, his body bruised. They looked upon him whom they crucified, but they didn't really see. When I see the cross, I see an innocent man being put to death. I see a sinless man suffering, a guiltless man who is actually the creator of the universe. I see my Savior, my Redeemer, my Deliverer. I see him who came from heaven on a rescue mission to restore my relationship to God, to purchase my ransom and to save me from my sin. I see the wondrous love of God, his mercy and his grace. I see his goodness, and I see love that is unconditional, authentic, and yet undeserving. I see, when I look at the cross, what the Hebrew writer wrote when he said, "But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, might taste death for everyone." And here's the point. In our age, we have a huge advantage. All they could see on that Friday was a savage beating, a cruel crucifixion, and a horrendous death. But our vision is enhanced. We have the knowledge of Sunday. We see what Mary Magdalene saw that early Sunday morning. We see the stone rolled away. We see an empty tomb. We see a risen Savior. And we see the greatest example of his deity. We see through the power of his resurrection, his victory over death and Satan. And we also see the significance of Sunday worship, of this communion, this memorial feast. Because we celebrate not just a life or a death, but we celebrate a living Lord, a risen Savior, a reigning King. And so as we remember this morning, I ask you to do more than just look. See more than unleavened bread and grape juice. Look beyond the scourging. Look beyond the suffering. Look beyond just a slain lamb. As we share this morning the body and the blood, I hope that we have the vision to see Friday's cross through Sunday's empty tomb. We'll now give thanks for the bread. Our Heavenly Father, we come before you and we thank you for your great plan that brought your Son to this earth to die for us. We remember now his sacrifice and ask that you would bless this bread as we partake. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
Thanks for the cup. Our Father in heaven, as we humbly bow before your throne, we are thankful for this cup and its contents, which represent your Son's blood, which was shed on the cross. We're so thankful for that sacrifice, and we pray as we partake of this cup now that we do so pushing out of our minds all the world and all that our thoughts may contain, except for that moment upon the cross when your only Son gave himself for us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you.
The elders have also appointed this as the convenient time that we can recognize a blessing and a command to lay by in store as we've been prospered and to provide for the work of the church and for the needy saints. And at this time, Derek will offer a prayer for the collection.
Our God and Father, as we come before you now, we are mindful of how blessed we are. We have your Son, and we have so many blessings in this world, and specifically where we live, that are untold and uncompared to the rest of history. We pray as we make this offering that we will be as joyful about it and as happy about it as one of your servants, as one of your shepherds of old that would have seen his flock born and seen the best be born and give a shout of joy knowing that this little lamb is wonderful and great, and this one is special, and this one will be given to the Lord. We pray that we are as excited and thankful to make that sacrifice this day as he was then. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen.
Number 810, Listen to Our Hearts. We'll sing this song through twice, and after we sing it through twice, at the end we'll sing the chorus, and we'll repeat the chorus, but it'll be on the slides, but beware at the end we'll sing through the chorus again. So let us all sing out. No.
Thank you.
I have a prayer.
Bow with me, please. Heavenly Father, we bow before your throne this morning, as humbly as we know how, thanking you for another beautiful day that you've created for us. Father, we thank you so much for the wonderful start to this service. And Father, I'm so thankful that I was able to be here this morning and what it's done and touched me, Bible class and the lesson we learned there and these beautiful songs we sang to you. It's just been a blessing this morning, Father, and I'm so thankful to be a part of it. Father, we're so thankful of all these wonderful people we have in this congregation, the leaders, the elders, the deacons that make things happen in this church. We're just so thankful. And Father, we have some needs this morning as well. And I especially want to lift up Joel Sloan and his Sloan family. And he's going to be going through some tests tomorrow at Duke, Father. And we just lift him up. We ask that you're with the family. You're with Susan and the boys. And that you're with Joel. And I know that it's just tough on him. And we just ask that you give him that peace, Father. Let him understand that he is your son, your child. And Father, we ask that you're with the doctors tomorrow that are doing these tests. And Father, we just pray that the outcome is positive. A very good outcome. Father, we also lift up the other needs in this congregation, Kathy Fisher and Jim Ridgeway and Atticus Rowe. And Father, there's so many that I've forgotten. And you know who they are. We lift them and their families up to you this morning, asking that you just wrap your loving arms around them, Father, and keep them mindful that they are your children as well. And the word says that we are not to worry, that we are to trust in you. And as human hearts, it's so hard to do that, Father. But we have to let that go and open up, Father, and learn to trust in you. That no matter what, we are promised that home in heaven. And it's such a wonderful home, where there will be no more suffering or sickness or tears. Just joy, Father, being with you in heaven. Father, we ask that you're with Tommy this morning as he gives a lesson. We ask that you're with us, that we open up our hearts and receive it. But not only receive it, we take it out into the world and share it with others, Father. Because that's what we're called to do. We're called to bring others to you, Father, to share the gospel message. And Father, as that song said, you are the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to you except through Jesus. And we're so thankful for Jesus, that ultimate sacrifice that came to this earth, was tempted in every way as a man, but was sinless, led a perfect life, and then suffered that cruel death on the cross so that we could have eternal life. And for that, we are eternally thankful. And it's his name I offer this prayer this morning. Amen.
If you want to mark your songbooks for song we'll sing after the lesson this morning, be song number 853, When We All Get to Heaven. 853. And if you would let us stand and sing this next song, which is 843. Number 843, God Give Us Christian Homes. As Tommy brings his lesson this morning, dealing with our families. Let's sing all four verses of this song, if you would. To me.
Morning. Scripture reading this morning will be from Psalms chapter 127, reading verses 1 through 5. Psalms 127, 1 through 5. Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman keeps awake in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to retire late, to eat bread of painful labors. For he gives to his beloved even in his sleep. Behold, children are a gift of the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. How blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. They will not be ashamed when they speak with their enemies in the gate.
This weekend is Veterans Day weekend. I don't have a lesson toward that. I have it sometime. But I think about how secure our home is because we live in a land that's been protected. And I think about the life that has been shed, blood that's been shed even for our country from our independence to World War II to even the staring down of Russia by JFK when they were putting the missiles on Cuba. There's no telling what we'd be or where we would be without that. And I am thankful we have protected homes wherein we can be Christians. There are people in this world who are being persecuted for the name of Christ. And if you live in that nation and seek to serve Christ, I tell you, you will be persecuted. And we need to pray for those people and the souls, that souls might be saved. We talked last week about adoption and about God wanting people to care for other people, and especially His people to care for other people. And many of our people have adopted children, and we are thankful for that. And many Christians, as James, the first chapter, would teach us, We ought to seek to help as we can. When we see needs, we should help as we can. We made a bit of a contrast as we ended that lesson about how the church is a special adoption agency. We are all adopted in Christ Jesus. That's interesting that what he said about his church was that we are adopted and we ought to go out and get God more children. And that's the adoption work that the church is involved in, and it should absorb us in every way in doing that. When we talk about adoption, or whether we just had our children naturally, or we've got a mix, which many do, what we want to do is have the best home that we can have for our children. And it's interesting that God has fashioned the church and who we are after, for us to understand it about father and family. And that's what the church is to him. And he's made us understand that in our own families. We all need some home improvement. All of us do. If I could rear my children over again, there would be some home improvement. In fact, you know, we had sets of kids. We made improvement all along. That's the way we ought to. We all ought to want to make our children, our homes better. You remember this show, Home Improvement? Tim the Two Man, I loved him. And he was quite a doofus when it came to being a two man. But it wasn't about being a two man, it was about that family right there. And it was about the family being improvement. I thought of that show when I thought of Home Improvement. And I thought how much better I like that show than Modern Family and what it taught. But we all want to have our homes improved. And when we saw their homes, oftentimes what you saw is a neighbor peeking over, watching that house in distress all the time. And they had to work it out. And somebody says, well, you know, our homes, everybody needs improvement. We need home improvement. When we look at any kind of home improvement, when you talk about that, a lot of times today we talk about home improvement, people talk about house improvement. And a lot of people have remodeled a house. Our house we live in now has been remodeled. It was needed a lot of work. Ray Coates and myself and others and some of you helped, but it was quite a project remodeling that house. I think it's the only house I ever want to remodel, by the way. It's the only one I've ever remodeled, and I'll bet you the Mosleys might say the same thing. Because when you remodel something, it takes longer than you planned. It will cost more than you figured. This is true every time. It's not just you or me. This is true every time. It's messier than you anticipated. You know, wow, this is messy. And it requires greater determination and more patience than you expected. That's true every time you try to improve things, isn't it? You know, very few times you say, well, I'm going to remodel this, and you get through. But boy, that was easier than I thought. Cost less than I realized. And, you know, it never did get messy. And, you know, it just doesn't work that way. Anything worth building, it takes some strain and sacrifice to do that. Our lives sometime are like this bottle here. We're just spilling over and everything's spilling out. We're so full that it's hard for us to have time for home improvement. Tonight's lesson, and tonight, by the way, Adam's out of town. Scott's out of town. I'm the only one here that's preached here much. But anyway, I know all of you can do a good job. But our class night. We're going to study tonight on don't miss out on long-term blessings for temporary pleasures. So we're going to have a class discussion about that, and that's the Esau principle in the Bible, and I think you know what Esau did. So we'll talk about that and have a little practical discussion about that tonight that'll help us in this. Now, when we look at this home improvement, Psalms 127 and verses 1 to 5, which has already been read for us, we find that we need it. And what do you hear about homes a lot of times today? You hear about dysfunctional homes. You ever hear that terminology, dysfunctional homes? Truth is, every home's a little dysfunctional. You'd think that everything is perfect, but it's hard to get it perfect all. There's only been one perfect home, and that was only Adam and Eve before they sinned. That's the only fully functional home, and they were already, Eve was getting in the wrong place. But anyway, that woman you gave me, you remember your statement. To say that home needs improvement is to say it's not what it ought to be. And it's true of all of us. And let me say this to the young people. When is that young people's thing up in Fuquay? Is that next weekend? You going to get in touch with Darren or Quincy, do that. But I'll tell you one thing, and you need to do, beside having God first in your life, you need to make sure you choose the right person to marry. And what I can say is, and I only have boys to say this to, and I, you know, Hunter's got a girlfriend now. I think that might be getting serious. You can't get much out of Hunter. Haley works hard at it, though. But anyway, only thing I've said to him, because there's some concerns, and everybody knows that kind of thing, but she's a wonderful person, but I said, Hunter, just make sure whoever you marry helps you go to heaven. If you don't get somebody that helps you go to heaven, then you just should have made a better choice. You still got to live with it. You still got to go on. But, you know, that's one of the fundamental things is we need to marry somebody who is going to help us go to heaven. And let me tell you something, young people. How many of you are going to be forced to marry somebody? I hope. Although in societies that have arranged marriages, they work out pretty good. Because usually the parents have a better idea than the children. But it doesn't work out in our society. It just doesn't work out. You make sure that whoever you're dating is worth bringing home to mom and daddy, and whoever you even think about marrying is going to help you to go to heaven. You need that kind of foundation to build the kind of home that you want. All of us wish that we could always make the right decisions. We don't always make the right decisions. But when we read this passage from Psalms 127 and verse 1, it says that if a home is good, it's going to, let me go to Psalms 127. I'm looking here because I had it all typed out. And is that in the New Testament or Old Testament, children? I was over there in the New Testament. If you're there, go back to Psalms 127. And it says in Psalms 127 in verse 1, unless the Lord builds a house, they labor in vain who builds it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman keeps awake in vain. Unless the Lord builds the house. Now, let me ask you, what kind of house do you think the Lord wants you to build? A Christian home or a non-Christian home? Christian home. That's what you think. You agree with that? Okay. You agree with that? You agree with that? You agree with that? Do 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 you agree with that? Gideon, do you agree with that? Okay, make sure. Do you agree with that? You agree with that? Okay, they all agree with it, so they all going to marry Christians. You agree with that, Claire? Yeah, Claire agrees with that too. See, so they all go, because the Lord wants Christian homes. We just sung about that. Unless the Lord build the house. Well, you know what this teaches here in Luke, the 6th chapter. It says when you build your house, you got to build it on a rock. You remember that? How's the song go? The wise man built his, The wise man built his house upon the rock. And when the storms and the rains come, what does the house do? It stood. Now, what is the application of that he says in that teaching? What's the application of it? Foundation, hear the words that I say and do it. That's the foundation. So, except the Lord build the house, you make sure that the Lord is the one that gives you the stability in your life. You take His word and you put your foundation of your life and your family on His word. That is how you improve a home. That's how you build a home. Don't ever forget that. Let me read this by Warren Wiersbe. It seems no matter where we look in modern society, we see antagonism, division, and rebellion. Husband and wives are divorcing each other. Children are rebelling against their parents. And employers and employees are seeking for new ways to avoid strikes and keep machinery of industry running productively. We have tried education, legislation, and every other approach, but nothing seems to work. Paul's solution to antagonisms in the home and in society was regeneration, a new heart from God and a new submission to Christ and to one another. To be set apart and to build your life and your teaching upon what God has said. Now the security, Psalms 127. The watchman that watches, he watches in vain unless it's of the Lord. If you want to give your family security, then what should you do? You should make sure that everything you're doing and building is of the Lord. You make sure that you put the Lord first. And then in Psalm 62, verses 1 and 2. My soul waits in silence for God only. For he is, in him is my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation, my stronghold, and I will not be shaken. If I build my house upon the rock, hearing God's word and doing it, what kind of security am I going to have? What kind of chance do you think I'm going to have of improving my home if God's first in everything that we think and do? Lot of possibilities there. And then in Psalms 127 in verse 2 that we just read. It is vain for you to rise up early and retire late, eat the bread of painful labors, for he gives his beloved even in his sleep. If you're going to have rest and security, going to find it in the Lord. You're not going to find it anywhere else. You're not going to find it in a new house. How long does it take a new house to become a regular house? I'll tell you what, I love my house, but there's a lot of sweat equity in that thing. I don't know what it's worth. I think it's gone downhill the last few years, but it doesn't matter. I like that house. But I like my home because we're trying to build it on the Lord. We can rest, we can sleep because we're in the Lord. Come to me, all ye who labor and are heavy laden. And what does Jesus say? Is his yoke and his burden light and easy? He'll give you rest. Psalms 127 says you can sleep. Does anybody need rest and peace and sleep? Would you rather have rest, peace and sleep, or turmoil and distress in a home? So what do we need? We need to build this upon the Lord. And the Lord keeps teaching us these things. Y'all, Wicky and I, we have this all the time. You know, I say all the time, but this comes up in our lives all the time. Something we might react or say something, the other just sort of quotes a scripture. Wow. If the Lord is the Lord, then That ends everything. That ends the unkind words. That ends the fighting. That ends it all. Because it's built upon the Lord. That's what the Lord wants for us. So we want a house improved as Lord want to. Ephesians 4:32. And be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving each other, just as Christ also has forgiven you. Kind, tenderhearted, and forgiving. That's what I want to be for my wife, and that's what she wants to be for me. And that's what we want our children to see. Why? Because that's building a house that's going to stand. And somebody says, well, that's not my nature. Well, it wasn't my nature either. You didn't see me before a Christian. My wife did, and she knows a little bit about what it's taken. But you have to decide what kind of house you want. And you have to sacrifice for that house. And you have to say, well, I might think this way or be like this, but the Lord has said this, and I want rest. I want security. I want stability in my home. And I want my children to have a heritage. You know, they might accept the heritage or they might not. I've been thinking about that class today. I've been thinking about that. My children know what I believe, backwards and forwards. They know what I want for them. I need to start telling them more of that every day. I can still teach them. I got email. I'm going to say, go to heaven. What's Larry's mission is to get he and Yvonne and his children and their children to heaven. I need to be telling that more and more every day. I thought about that today, and I want to do that more every day. In this Psalms 127, it says, behold, children are a gift of the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. I need to impress the world. I need to serve God and help myself and my children and anybody else I come in contact with know the Lord. Like arrows in the hands of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. How blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. Tim Rose got a big quiver, doesn't he? I got a quiver. It's full. Just wasn't quite the same size. How blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. They shall not be ashamed when they speak of their enemies in the gate. It's a blessing to have children. And we need to, I know this is one of Micah's favorite verses, is Deuteronomy 6. I about decided Micah loves Song of Solomon and Deuteronomy 6, his favorite passages. Carrie Ann got red when I said that. Hear, O Lord, the Lord our God, the Lord is one, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your might. And you, these words that I am commanding you today shall be on your heart, and you shall teach them to your children diligently to your sons, and talk to them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. Bind them upon your head. Someone said, put it on your fridge. Wear it on your bracelet. Put it before them night and day to know the Lord. And this means to put the Lord deep in their hearts. Let me tell you about raising children, something that we can get from one verse. I want you to look at Luke 2:52 with me just a moment. Luke 2:52. We'll read a couple of verses here. This was Jesus coming back to Nazareth with his family, mother and father. Verse 51, it says, he went down with them and came to Nazareth and continued to be in subjection to them. And his mother treasured these things in her heart, and Jesus kept increasing in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and with man. We need to teach our children so they'll grow up in that way too. And we talk about that, and when we look at this, Wisdom, that's mentally. Let's teach them wise things, and let's make them learn and understand, and let's help them grow in that way. Stature, that's physically. Let's make sure our children are about. They don't need to get stuck with their thumbs on some kind of game control. They need to be outside working and running and doing things. And then play a game after they study. Because they got to get the wisdom. And they got to get the stature and favor with God. That's spiritually. Let's make sure that we're putting in our children's hearts the word of God so they'll grow spiritually and favor with man. That's socially. That's how you teach a child to grow up to fit in society so they can carry on a heritage. They learn mentally, physically, spiritually, and socially when they find wisdom from God and stature and learn, as we've been studying in 1 Corinthians, the 6th chapter, that our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And they are in favor with men. They know how to say down south, yes, sir, and no, sir, yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am. They know how to talk, and they know how to relate. We need to teach our children so they can grow and be a force in this life. Proverbs 22 and verse 6 is a verse we often talk about. And it's a very good verse. You know, we teach it. I learned it in the King James Version that you rear up your children in the way they should go. And when they're old, they're not to depart from it. You know, Proverbs is about teaching people the practical things of life, how to make a living and how to work hard and how to gain wisdom and so many things it teaches. And Proverbs 22 is talking about those things. I like this translation. But anyway, point your kids in the right direction, and when they're old, they won't be lost. I think that's what the Proverbs are all about. You teach them all these things to grow in stature and wisdom and knowledge and with favor with God and man. And they're able to go out and they're able to carry on the next generation. How many times do we find children just not equipped? Whether it's socially, spiritually, wisdom. They're not equipped. We need to tend to our children and help them grow in every way in the way God would want them to grow. Mentally, physically, spiritually, and socially. Takes longer than you planned, though. It costs more than you figured, and it's messier than you anticipated. It requires greater determination and more patience than you expected. Just like building a house. I mean, you don't take off and this just happened. You are engaged, and it's night and day. And it costs time you didn't want to give that day. It costs some sleepless nights. It'll go on longer, and some days you'll think, well, I failed. Sometimes it gets messy, and you got to work through the mess. But you be determined that you're going to help your children. You're going to build a home on God and His Word. It's worth more than all the money you're making. It's worth more than the house you remodeled. It's worth more than a new car. It's worth more than a trip to Disney World. I think I've told you before that my mother and Aunt Nancy, they were pals. Aunt Nancy lived with Mom when her husband was at the war. And they were sister-in-laws, married brothers. Aunt Nancy named me. Mother, her third one came along. She didn't have a name. First two named after somebody. And she said, what in the world are we going to name this one? So if you want to know where Thomas Sidney came from, it came right out of the mind of my aunt. And she doesn't know where she got it from because I asked her. But she told me one day that I was sitting there at the house. And I think something was on. I can't remember the circumstances. But I said, me bet me worth more than $1 million. Me bet me is. She said, I knew you was going to be okay because you're just a little bitty thing. And there you were over the corner. Said, I'm probably in trouble. You know, that's probably what it was. I might have been in the corner for being loud and talking, because I've been loud and talking all my life. School was quite a problem. But anyway, they all loved me, but I spent a lot of time with the principal in elementary school. Me bet me worth $1 million. Me bet me yes. I'm going to leave you with that. Me bet it worth more than anything. More than $1 million, me bet it is, for you to build a home on the Lord. So quit thinking about all the future things. Let them all come as they will. Work hard. Christians ought to be the best workers there are. Put your mind to it. Be diligent in everything you do, but make sure that what you're doing is founded on the rock. You improve it in every way and help your children to be everything they can be. And let me tell you from a man who's older than Tim. One day they'll all be gone. We gave our children good wings because they flew as far as they could. And then it's up to them. They still know everything that you believe. They know everything you taught them. They know everything you did. But it's up to them. Don't have any regrets that you didn't do all you could do while you had the opportunity to prepare them for life. Tonight we'll talk a little more about this and discuss it. It's class night. I'm sort of excited about this. Get to talk and discuss things tonight. If you're here tonight and you're not a Christian, that's what you need to be. You need to be a Christian. Does your mom and daddy want you to be a Christian? Kids, they all want you to be a Christian, don't they? Do you want your mom and daddy to be Christians? You know what? At church, we all agree. Isn't that wonderful? Now let's go home and let's agree with that. If we can help somebody become a Christian today, we're ready. We got the water, we got the garments, we got the towels. We're ready. We just need a heart that wants to reach to the blood of Jesus. You come believing and you'll be baptized into his death and rise a new creature today. If you're here and you need prayers for any reason, just let us know now. Come now as together we stand and sing.
Sing the wondrous love of Jesus.
and sing with me.
Just a couple of announcements before we close. Group 8 will meet in the large classroom behind us right after services. Marie Collins is going in for shoulder surgery on Wednesday. There will be a Bible study Monday at 7 p.m. at the Crescent Heights Senior Center. That's where Bob Van Cleve and Carol are at. Don Wilkins is going to be leading that class, and the topic is going to be on the last hours of Christ's life. There's also a card that I'm going to post in the back on the bulletin board from the Reagans, Crawfords, and Lewis's, but it's written by Ken. And there's a couple of things I did want to read. I won't read the whole thing. This is it. So when you go back there, please take a look at it. Very heartfelt letter. But in Ken's words, I believe if anyone doubts that God's Spirit lives in us or is alive and active in the world today, all they have to do is look at this congregation and its Christian family. And one other thing that I'd like for you to hear. I am afraid I'm not sure how long it will be till I can get back with you in person, but my phone works. And tell all your friends I'm trying to figure out how to do Facebook. So, Don, if you will.
Paul tells us in the book of Ephesians, chapter 5, verse 10, says, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord. Would you bow with me, please? Our Holy Father, we express our deep gratitude to you for so many things. For your Son, for our own families, our brothers and sisters in Christ, and friends. And as we pause now to approach you in prayer, that has already been done and will continue to be done, we continue to pray for Joel, our brother in Christ. And we are reminded of him leading us in those psalms and hymns and spiritual songs over so many years. And we miss him. We pray, Father, for his wife Susan and the family, and for Susan that you strengthen her, Father. She has a heavy burden to bear. May we all stand ready to be there and to assist. We pray, Father, for our shepherd, Tom Mosky, during the loss of his mother, unexpectedly. Give the Mosky family your strength. We look forward to him being back with us. Please be with him. And Father, as we depart from this meeting house today, we pray that you would be with us. May we always look unto you for strength and for guidance. This is our prayer in the name of your Son, the one you gave to us that we might have hope and eternal life. Amen.